It's true, isn't it? I mean, as we prepare to turn the calendar page to 2018 tonight at midnight, one thing we can be sure of, 2018 will bring change. As one person put it, expect the unexpected. When we think about it realistically, much of the change that you and I experience in life is beyond our control, okay? I mean, just think about it for just a second. Who knows what North Korea will do next or how our country will react? Who knows if the economy will continue to improve or if another recession is looming on the horizon? Who knows what the next technological breakthrough will be and how it will change the way we operate or how we interact with one another? Who knows if we will get positive or negative news at our next doctor's appointment? Who knows what changes may occur in 2018 in our family or at work? 3 weeks ago, Cheryl was driving home and a pickup truck coming the opposite direction lost control on the snow and the ice and slid into her lane. It totaled both vehicles. Now, fortunately, Cheryl and the other driver walked away without any serious injuries, but accidents happen. And sometimes they change the trajectory of your entire life. And in an instant, your life can change through no fault of your own. Now, fortunately for all of us, I mean, both of the folks involved in this accident, all we had to do was replace vehicles. But despite whatever changes 2018 might bring, one thing we do know, our God is in control and he remains the same. Nothing happens that is beyond his notice. Nothing happens to Christians that he's not actively involved in working to bring about some good, even in the most tragic or bad situations. And God has created you and I as free beings, gifted and capable. He did not create us to live in fear. He did not create us to just be passive actors who are battered about by a life that is beyond our control. He created us to face unafraid the challenge of life in a fallen world and to thrive and prevail no matter what our circumstances might be, because he is with us and he is working in us and through us. That's why the Apostle Paul could write, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Now think about what he's saying. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We have the power of God in us, and we have the love of the God of the universe who never changes. And because of that, we can have the self-discipline to do whatever it is that God has called us to do, because he empowers us. He works in and through us. And so we face a life filled with change, unafraid. Now, today's lesson is entitled Thoughts on the New Year. And throughout 2017, our theme word has been the word think. It's been a great theme word, and we've spent this year thinking seriously and thinking deeply about a number of topics. We thought a lot about the Bible at the beginning of the year and why it makes sense to rely upon it as the inspired Word of God. And today, what we want to do is we want to turn our thinking toward the new year. How should we think as we embark upon a new year? Now, I don't know about you, but many of us in this room probably make resolutions, New Year's resolutions. Now, there are some who absolutely refuse to engage in that, and I don't know if that's because of some prior disappointment or what, but anyway, many of us will make resolutions to either do this or do that. Maybe some of us make resolutions to stop doing this or stop doing that. Like somebody the other day said, Jeff, would you pray for me? Because I'm trying to stop using tobacco. Okay? Some of you have some area in your life that you want to improve or to change something. And that's a good thing. It's always good for us to examine our lives and to look for things that we can improve. Obviously, though, the trick is in the follow-through. Many of you last year, about this time, made the resolution to follow through on reading the Bible, the entire Bible in 1 year. And many of you, because I've heard from many of you, have kept that resolution. You worked at it all through the year. And I've heard from many of you about how much that exercise has enriched your life over this past year. And I'm so proud of this church family for engaging in that. You followed through. So how should we think at the threshold of a new year? Now, a few years ago, a sociological study was done in which 50 people, now get this, you got 50 people that they did this with, all of them over the age of 95, okay? And they were asked one question. And here it is. If you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? What would you do differently? Now, just think about that question for a moment from your perspective at whatever age you might be. Some of you are young, okay? Maybe you don't have all that much life experience in terms of years, but how would you answer that question? Some of you are middle-aged, okay? And how would you answer that question? Some of you are a little older, but like me, you suffer from a Peter Pan complex, and so you think you're young. How would you answer that question? All right? But think about it. All 50 of these subjects in this study were over 95, presumably tons of life experience. How did they answer? Now, as you might guess, this open-ended question generated a variety of responses, but three answers emerged that dominated the results of the study. And these three answers went like this. First of all, if I had it to do over again, I would reflect more. Reflect more. Think about that. What they're saying is they would think about life, about what really mattered, about how they were living their lives, and they would reflect on those things, which is precisely what I hope that we're going to be able to do today during this lesson as we think about the new year that lies before us, to reflect on our lives and how we're living our lives and how we should live them as we move into the future. The second dominant response was this. If I had it to do over again, I would risk more. Risk more. Do something different. Try something new. Get out of whatever rut they may have fallen into in life. Pursue that dream that they were afraid to go after. Start their own company. Start a new church. Now that's risky, okay? But take a risk. You know, 7 years ago, my son Reed came to me and he said, Dad, I really want to pursue this acting thing. It's a dream for me. Now, he'd been involved in the drama program at Southern State Community College, but I had not realized that this had become a passion for him. And I'll never forget that conversation because when it became clear to me that he really wanted this, I told him, I said, son, you're never going to be able to make a living as an actor in Hillsboro, Ohio. But you're young, you're single, you got nothing tying you here. So if this is your dream, go after it now. Don't wait till you're 35 or 40 years old and look back on your life and wish you had at least given it a shot. And I told him, I said, you got one of two choices, New York or L.A. Do your research and let's go. And a short time later, I contacted a friend who had planted a church in Brooklyn who knew about places to rent. And Reed moved to New York and began taking classes at the Actors Conservatory. Now, it's a risk. He didn't know a soul when he moved up there. And if it works out, that's great. I mean, that's his dream. If it doesn't, at least he gave it a shot. He won't look back with regret because he never tried. Now, the third most common response was this: if I had it to do over again, I would do more things that would live on after I'm dead. In other words, do things that impact the next generation. Leave a legacy. Spend your life on pursuits that will outlive you. As the end of life was drawing to a close for these 95 and 95 plus year old people, many of them realized that what they had done with their life wouldn't last. It was temporary. And they wished they had done more things that would live on. You know, a wise person once said, "We have made at least a start in discovering the meaning of human life when we plant shade trees under which we know full well we will never sit." Think about that. Let me read that again. Let this kind of roll around in your brain. We have made at least a start in discovering the meaning in human life when we plant shade trees under which we know full well we will never sit. In other words, what are you doing with your life that will live beyond you? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Now, our focus verse for today's lesson is Ephesians 5, 15, and 16. It's going to come up here on your screen in just a moment. But it goes like this. Let's all recite it together. Here we go. "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Now, notice how the Apostle Paul, in this verse, frames his advice. He frames his advice against the backdrop of this phrase, "the days are evil." In other words, Paul recognizes the fact that you and I live in a fallen world. So life is indeed uncertain. Bad things can happen. And the truth is, there is an evil force in the world. That's reality. At the same time, it is not an excuse for us to check out of life. It's not a reason for us to phone it in. You and I should have a certain sense of urgency about how we live, and we must be careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, and making the most of every opportunity, not wasting our days on pursuits that don't matter, not focusing on things that are temporary instead of eternal. Make the most, he says, of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we stand on the threshold of a new year. And we thank you, Father, that you have gifted us with this gift of life for this period of time that we call 2017. And Father, as it's our hope and prayer that as we look forward to 2018, that we will think and think well about how we will conduct ourselves during this year so that we will be wise, not unwise, so that we will make the most of every opportunity to make a difference for you. Because, Father, that is an eternal difference, not a temporary one. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friends, is this your first time at Good News Gathering? On your way in the auditorium, in your bulletin, you received a white sheet with holes punched on the side. It's a outline that will help you follow along with today's lesson. It has the scriptures on it and some fill in the blanks that will help you travel with me. But there at the top of the outline, it says, in order to make the most of 2018, I must. And we're going to look at some things that I think we must do if you and I are going to make the very most of 2018. And what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some writings by an individual by the name that we know him as the Apostle Paul. Now, he was the greatest Christian missionary who ever lived. He planted churches all across the Roman Empire. And he actually wrote 12, and some think maybe even more, maybe 13, but for sure 12 of the books, the 27 books of the New Testament. Now, Paul wrote something that can help us make the most of a new year. Now, he loved using analogies from the world of sports. He does this in several of his different books in the New Testament, which makes me wonder, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I often wonder if he was an athlete as a youth. If he wasn't an athlete, then he definitely watched athletic events because he describes them, okay? So he knows what athletes do and what they go through, and he says this. He says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. In other words, what he's saying here is don't just live life just to get by. Don't live life to do as little as possible to survive and live another day. He says, run to win. You know, I mean, think about what he's saying here. He's saying, you know what? Life is not some little league program where God hands out trophies to everybody just for participating. That's not the way it works. Not everybody is a winner. Some people don't make the most of the life God gives them. That's reality. And he's saying, don't be those people. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. He goes on to say, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Winning a race requires purpose and discipline. I mean, the Olympics are coming up in a couple of months, and I love to watch those because these athletes train for years to compete in a race that may last minutes or seconds. And for what? He goes on to say, they do it to get a crown that will not last. He said, these guys go to all this trouble, all this time, all this effort, all this energy for something that won't last. He says, but we Christians do it to get a crown that will last forever. He's like, athletes do it for a moment in the sun, fleeting glory. But you and I, Christians, we're running the race of faith, and it's different. That race is eternal. He says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He's saying the Christian life requires discipline, self-sacrifice, preparation, just like an Olympic athlete. Training, exercises like prayer and Bible study, journaling, life groups, serving in ministry, generosity, a lot of those things that we nail down and focus on in class 201, those are all training exercises that equip us to run the race of our lives. You see, we don't just observe the race from the grandstands. We compete. And we don't just jog a lap or two in the morning and call it a day. We enter into strict training because we're racing toward eternity. So how do we think well about the new year? Well, I think it goes like this, guys. First of all, that T in think stands for this. Today matters. Today matters. It's a gift from God of 24 hours. And it's a gift that once used, you can't get back. So don't waste it. Don't waste it. Make the most of it. James says it this way. He says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. What's he saying here? He's saying, guys, there are no guarantees. You don't know if you get tomorrow. So make the most of the day and thank God for it. I mean, knowing that it could be your last day, live each day to the glory of God. And friends, the question that we all should ask ourselves is, what can I do today that will bring glory to God? What can I do with my life today that will bring glory to God? Now that H stands for the word hone. Hone my priorities. I know the word hone is not a word that we use a lot these days, but it simply means to narrow, to focus, to really focus in. And you know, I think sometimes many of us struggle with focus. We're trying to do this and that and the other, and we're trying to do, and some of us believe that we can do everything, and in the process, we don't do anything well. The Apostle Paul wrote, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, if you would please circle those words, one thing I do. One thing I do. The Apostle Paul was focused. He had honed his priorities. He knew what his life was about. And you know, for many of us Christians, we don't struggle with the question good or evil, okay? Most of us are smart enough to figure that out. We know if we're faced with a decision, which is a good decision or an evil decision. Where we struggle is when we start having to make decisions between what is good and what is better, and what is best. There are tons of good things that you and I can do. But the question is, what is better? What is best? What is the best use of my time? What is the best use of my talent? What is the best use of the resources that I have? Because there are a million things you can do. Friends, I'm here to tell you that, and I see this because I look at the mail that comes into the office, and there is not a week that goes by that somebody is not writing Good News Gathering and saying, would you please send us money? Some charity, some organization, and are any of them bad? No. Can we support them all? No. You have to choose. And you have to ask yourself questions like, who can we really get involved with in a way that actually makes a big difference? I mean, sure, we could send them all a quarter, but how much sense does that make? And at some point, you have to start making choices. And friends, sometimes you have to decide what is the very best use of my time, talent, and treasure, and you have to say no to a whole lot of good things that you could do, but would dilute your impact. Now, friends, what I want to do is I want to just give you some areas in your life for you to at least think through as you think about how you want to live in 2018, things that you may need to hone your priorities in. And the first thing is this, the spiritual area of your life. The spiritual area of your life. Now, on your outline, you've got some space there, and maybe you will choose to write in something that particularly applies to you as we go through these. But perhaps for some of you out there this morning, the spiritual question that you need to deal with this year is, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And maybe you need to focus in on that. Maybe you're already a Christian, but you never have really gotten into the Bible, and you never have really read the Bible, and that's something that maybe you need to do this year. And we'll talk about that in the next steps portion of the lesson later on, where we're going to do two Bible reading plans, different ones. So for those of you that read the whole Bible last year, if maybe you want to do something a little different, we've got something different for you this year. So maybe there's some spiritual thing going on in your life that you need to deal with or address. Perhaps it's a physical, there's something in the physical area of your life. Perhaps in 2018, what you need to focus on and make a priority is to get healthy. Or maybe because your body has been speaking to you and you've been blocking it out, maybe you need to get an appointment with a doctor and check on what's going on with you. Maybe there's another area, the relational area. Perhaps you need to focus more time and attention on your marriage or your children. Or perhaps there's some family situation or relationship with a friend or somebody like that where things aren't right and you know it and you need to have a conversation with that person. Maybe that conversation needs to begin with, "I'm sorry." Or maybe you need to forgive somebody. Perhaps it's a vocational issue. There's something going on in your life that you need to improve in your work, or perhaps some skill, or perhaps something in your ministry that you need to be working on this year. I know JD and Wayne and I, when we get back from Haiti, you're going to start in on a 12-week program designed to improve our teaching skill. Because we believe that we need to increase our skill each year in order to serve you all better. Now, the last one I put on here was just because, you know, I put the word other here because maybe there's something else going on in your life that you feel like you need to work on in 2018. Perhaps for you, maybe you need to work on getting out of debt or getting your financial house in order. I had somebody come up to me in the atrium after the last service, and I introduced that person to Gary Lewis because they said, you know, I could really use help in that area. And Gary runs our financial freedom ministry that helps people learn how to handle their finances in a way that honors God. But hone your priorities. Figure out what it is that you need to do and work on in 2018, and then get to work on those. The I stands for this: invest my time, talent, and treasure in what matters most. If there's one thing that came through in that study of 95 and 95-plus-year-olds, it's that many of them felt they had invested their time in things that wouldn't last. So invest your time, talent, and treasure in what matters most. The Apostle Paul, some believe he wrote the book of Hebrews, said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now here's the image you got to get of this passage. Imagine that you and I, because we are still alive here on this earth, are on a field. Football field, soccer field, you name it, baseball diamond, whatever game you like, okay? But the writer says we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses. And imagine that you and I are playing the game. And all those Christians that have gone before are seated in the stands, along with the angels of heaven, watching us play the game. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And the image you need to get here is this idea of an athlete who's getting ready to run a race. And you've all seen it, probably because you've watched the Olympics at some point, and they're out there and they're kind of jogging around the track, warming up, or they're stretching and doing different kind of exercises, and they got these sweatsuits on to keep them warm and to warm their muscles up. And then just before that race begins, you see them start to strip that stuff off. Why? They don't want the extra weight. They don't want anything messing with their aerodynamics. They strip down to the bare minimum to run that race. And he says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with the endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. You have talent that God has given you. And you have time each day he gives you. And he expects you to run the race he set before you. So get rid of whatever might hold you back. Strip down to the bare minimum and get moving for Jesus Christ. Now the N stands for network with others. Network with others. You see, if you really want to hone your priorities and be successful in achieving those priorities in 2018, one of the things that you can do that will help you immensely is to network with somebody else, another Christian, who knows what your priorities are because you've been honest with them. And they will pray for you, support you, and hold you accountable when you fail to live up with them. You see, every one of us Christians needs somebody in our life like that who can look us in the eye and say, I'm in your corner, I'm praying for you, and when necessary, can say, buck up. You know better than that. Network with others. The Bible says two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. He's saying, you know what? When you team up with other people, your chances of success go way up. And you know, friends, I think about what goes on here at Good News Gathering. and all the volunteers that make this thing happen week in and week out. And that's what creates success here at Good News Gathering. Some of you may not realize this, but Christmas Eve, last Sunday, we had 1,171 people here. Amazing. Yeah, you can clap about that. Why did that happen? Because so many people here engage in ministry. So many people here reach out and talk to their friends and their neighbors and invite them to come. So many people are involved in this. That's what's happening, networking with others. I'll tell you something else that was cool. Last Sunday morning, as many of you know, the entire offering goes out. It goes out into our community to help people in need, or it goes on to Haiti. Okay, it does not stay here to pay bills or that sort of thing. And last Sunday morning, the offering was $13,498. Yeah. Why? No one person wrote that check, okay? There's a whole lot of people that opened up their hearts and their wallets and made that happen. And because of all of us networking together, this church can have an impact in our community and beyond. Now, friends, the K in think is know the end game. Know the end game. If you and I are going to think well about 2018 and how we live our lives in 2018, we have to know what the end game is. And the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Philippians. He said, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better." You see, none of us knows if we will be here at the end of 2018. We're not guaranteed that. But you know, the Apostle Paul says, that's not the big question. He says, "I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die." It's not really about living or dying. It's about Christ. For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. And friends, when you and I live our lives with the end game in mind, then one of the cool things that we will experience is this. When we're 95 years old, if we get there, and some sociologist comes up to us and asks the question, "If you had it to do over again, what would you do?" One of the things we will not say is, "I would do more things that would live on after I'm dead." Because you and I are going to have that covered. And you know what? If we're following Jesus Christ, we're going to have the risk thing covered as well. Because living for Jesus Christ will stretch us. Now, friends, I don't know what your next steps are for the new year. I put that box on the outline in hopes that it would at least spur your thinking. Perhaps what you need to do in the new year is to discover what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if that describes you, on the back of your communication card, there's a box there that says, "I want to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ." And if you check that box, you'll get a call this week. And we'll set up a time for you to come in and talk about what that means. Maybe what you need to do is pick a Bible reading plan and start reading tomorrow. Now, friends, some of you engaged in the full Bible reading program where you read through the entire Bible during the year. Some of you did that last year, but some of you didn't because maybe you weren't attending at that time or you just weren't able to get it in last year. But if you would like to do that this year, right there in that box, it tells you exactly how you can download that. Now, if you're tech savvy, you can do that. Or if you're like me and you're not, you can just go out to the Welcome Center and you can pick up a paper copy of that, okay? Now, some of you did the full Bible reading last year. And this year, you'd like to try something different. And so we have a second Bible reading plan. This is reading through the New Testament only. And if you do this plan, you'll read through the New Testament twice during this year. Now, it tells you right there how you can download that version as well. There's also paper copies of that plan that are available at the Welcome Center. But friends, I would encourage each of you to pick one of these plans and then go for it. Studies show that if you want to grow spiritually, one of the best tools for helping you grow spiritually is to read the Bible. Now, the next thing there is to pray for the GNG Haiti mission teams. And at this time, Steve Patton is going to come up, is going to introduce you to those teams, and we're also going to have a time of prayer over the folks that are going to Haiti this year. And friends, this first team will be leaving on Tuesday, okay?
Thank you, Jeff. As Jeff mentioned, the first team does leave Tuesday and will be gone. We're a Tuesday-to-Tuesday schedule, so they leave on the 2nd, return on the 9th. The second team leaves on the 9th and returns on the 16th. So at this time, I will introduce the team. The first team is 100% construction, and that is Eric Callahan, Christopher Kenny, Wayne Eddingfield, Ed Jolly, Mallory Sluss, Tom Barber, Chelsea Thompson, Nathan Brown, Andy Teeters, and J.D. Lyle. The second team, which is our medical, and we do medical, we do some dentistry as far as teaching kids how to brush their teeth, that type of thing, teaching, and even possibly some light construction, is Nancy Hecker, Amy Callahan, Cheryl Lyle, Jeff Lyle, Kay Deegan, Mark Boyd, Krista King, Brandon Jackman, Amanda Raypool, Leslie Steger, Lynn Patton, and myself. So these 20, actually, Kay Deegan and Leslie Steger could not be with us this morning, but these people make up your team for your 2018 mission team. So. And as Jeff said, over the next couple weeks, if you could keep us in your prayers, it'd be greatly appreciated. It's just a wonderful experience to get the opportunity to go to Haiti and work at the La Croix New Testament Mission. And so, but we do need your prayers. So at this time, I'd ask you to bow your heads as we pray for the team. Lord, we just come to you and ask you to bless this team. We ask you to watch over them and give them traveling mercies, keep them safe, keep them healthy. Help their works to benefit your kingdom. Help them to benefit the La Croix New Testament mission and help bring people to Christ. We ask all this in your son's name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.